Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Sexual abuse does terrible damage. Relationships all through life suffer due to early experiences children should never have had. Today, hope for all who struggle with sexual abuse, and also hope for those doing the abusing. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we begin a three-part series on how to handle being the victim of sexual abuse. Our theme is simply, let God redeem your story. And now, Pastor Lutzer comes with part one.
So how are you all doing? Everybody all right? You ready for what God might teach you today? Do you have a heart that is open to Him? Today I begin the message with a quiz that you can answer for yourself. Do you find personal relationships difficult? You long for intimacy but are afraid when you get it? When your weaknesses are pointed out, do you become defensive, angry, blaming others, and you pull away from anyone who confronts your issues? Are you fearful of getting close to people because you don't trust them? And do you find it difficult to trust God? Do you have unfulfilled emotional needs that no one seems to be able to fill? Have you struggled with eating disorders? Are you obsessed with exercise or diet control? Have you experienced many sexual struggles, sexual identity confusion, fear of the opposite sex, same-sex attraction, or sexual obsessions? Are you angry with yourself and use anger to push others away? Have you wrestled with self-destructive behaviors such as slashing your wrists, carving your skin, or pulling out your hair? Do you wrestle with control issues, always wanting to control the people and circumstances next to you? Do you have a problem with anger, rage, and intense hostility? Are you living with a secret and you're afraid somebody will find it out? Do you struggle with dissociative disorder, previously known as multiple personality disorder? Are you aware of an evil presence that brings distraction, confusion, hopelessness? If you have answered yes to one or more of those questions, it is possible that you were abused as a child, probably sexually abused. Recently, my wife and I were with some parents, wonderful Christians in Christian work. They told us their story. Their oldest daughter is having a lesbian lifestyle. How did that happen? Well, years later, far after the abuse occurred, it was discovered that an aunt of theirs had sexually abused all of their daughters, including 14 or 15 other nieces and nephews. The other daughters did not go into lesbianism, but they struggle with intimacy in marriage, and they've got all kinds of issues. But the parents didn't know about it till years later. Another story of a young man in a Christian school, and he's going to stay with one of the families in the school, and the parents think it's a great idea because they have kids that are his own age. He doesn't want to go there. Parents go on vacation. No, no, you're going to stay there. He cries, but he doesn't tell them why. He's being abused by the father of that home. That, of course, caused his life to spin out of control, attempted suicide, homosexuality, and other things that he struggles with. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, is sexual abuse on the rise? The answer is yes, for a number of reasons. First of all, the proliferation of pornography, but also the broken homes of our society. You have blended families, and now you have stepsisters and stepbrothers who look at each other differently, and of course, even within blood families, you find sexual abuse of various kinds. And so that's the world in which we live. Children that are vulnerable because, you know, they have no one to pay attention to them, they are very vulnerable because they might like the attention even though it is destructive attention. And so it is as our homes are being broken up and You have stepfathers abusing stepdaughters. We live in a world where it is almost everywhere. You see, sexual abuse distorts our view of sexuality, where everything then is encased in shame, and there's no understanding to bring wholeness to the situation. It encourages promiscuity because a girl who is sexually molested is twice as likely to become pregnant before marriage. And there are reasons for that. You can connect your own dots. And so today's message is dealing with this very important topic. And by the way, why didn't the children tell? Well, the answer is, number one, they thought to themselves, probably, if we went to mom and dad and said, "Do you know what my uncle is doing?" Mom and dad might not have believed them, unfortunately. Parents, I need to say something to you with clarity that I hope you never forget. If your child even makes a suggestion that something improper is going on, you had better take it seriously. I know that there have been instances where there have been false accusations, oftentimes because children have been asked questions in an improper way, but you must take what a child is saying. They usually do not make up their stories. Parents, listen. You must take every child that is 5 or 6 years old, and once they begin to be with others, and say to them, if anybody ever touches you improperly, and then you can perhaps go into some detail depending on the age of the child, you come to us. If they threaten you, you come to us immediately. Don't walk, you run, and we will welcome you and accept you and love you and deal with the issue. Every child needs to be taught that. In today's world, where you have sexual predators roaming our streets and in our homes, they have to be taught that. Another reason, of course, is guilt. They may feel guilty. Maybe they enjoyed it. There might be some satisfaction that comes to them as a result of all of this stimulation. Thinking of a young woman who was abused by her grandfather. He introduced her to sexuality, but later on, you know, she enjoyed it, and so, of course, he blamed her for it. You have to understand the profile of an abuser. And I'll give you more details about that next time in the second message in the series, even though it is so critical to understand right here that there is hope for abusers too, as we shall learn in this message and in the next one. And so what we need to do is to realize that God has to have an answer for this, and he does. There's only one passage I want you to turn to today, and it is Psalm 147. Psalm 147, what a beautiful promise that is thrown into God's word. I say thrown, it shows up here in Psalm 147. It's talking about the exiles of Jerusalem. And it says in verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. And now notice this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. What does that have to do with the binding up of your wounds? The psalmist is emphasizing the fact that we're dealing with a God who can do a lot of impossible things. And if God knows stars and names them, do you think he's forgotten your name, your address, and what happened to you? Not a chance. And so when I go through this message today, I want you to know that you can invite God to go into dark places with you. You don't have to go alone, because the Bible says that the love of God is ever with us, and nothing can separate us from his love, even the things that were so maliciously and directly done against you by those who should have been protecting you. You can go to dark places with God. Now I need to warn you that when God binds up our wounds and when he heals our wounds and binds them up, he also has to touch our wounds if he's going to bind them. Some of you are going to find this message difficult. Some of you will want to leave. I have no doubt you'll want to stand up and say, I can't take this. I encourage you not to. But if you have to cry, you can just begin to cry where you are if you cry quietly. If the people next to you don't understand, you bring them to me later and I'll straighten them out on a few things, okay? Let's make that deal. We're going to be very relaxed today. We're going to let the Holy Spirit of God do whatever the Holy Spirit of God wants to do. And so it is important. Some of you, of course, your abuse has been your calling card. It has justified your anger, your control of others. Having been sinned against, it has justified your sin against others. And you say, I might not be ready to give this up. I am being identified by my abuse, and I prefer that identity. If that's you, I want you to listen to this message, because I'd love to convince you otherwise, but actually, I can't force you to do anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the path that you need to follow, but I can't make you follow it. And you can't follow it just because you listen to this message, however important the message is. You're going to have to follow it beyond this message and in ways that I shall outline. But in the end, I pray for your wholeness. I pray that captives shall be set free. Those of you who are dealing even with demonic issues of anger and control and blaming and vengeance, we want God to set you free too. As a matter of fact, we believe that today He's going to. You came to church and thought it would just be an ordinary day. You didn't know that God had a surprise for you when you walked in here this morning. Well, my friend, today you have just heard the beginning of a series of messages titled, Let God Redeem Your Story. You know, here at the Moody Church, where I've been for many years, I've noticed that the number of broken people, I think, is increasing. And I say that because as our homes are broken, because divorce has become so prevalent and you have addictions and you have all kinds of abuses, children are growing up today with much pain, much hurt. And as I mentioned in this opening sermon, oftentimes what you find is that there is a sense of identity that these dear people have. Now, I have the faith to believe that if you listen carefully, and if we follow the Word, and if we believe in the power of God, my dear brother and sister today, you do not need to live in your past. God is able to lead you on a better path, and I'm praying that as a result of these messages, you will discover just that. I pray for your deliverance and for your freedom. And let me say to all those of you who listen, we appreciate so much your prayers. You know, we can't do this without your prayers and without your gifts. Because together we are standing against our enemy, Satan. We are standing against the implication of broken people who feel so hopeless. And you're helping us. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your help. Because as a result of what we are doing together as partners, God is changing the lives of many people. These broadcasts go far and wide, and I am so grateful that you today are one of our listeners.
This series of messages may be life-changing for those caught in the grip of shame. Let God Redeem Your Story can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about Let God Redeem Your Story. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.